faith in that one day we would be parents started to grow, and I began doing things as though we did have a child, like making sure nozzles on cleaning products were turned so they couldn't spray, or that the bleach bottle heads had their lids on and hot drinks were put away so that they couldn't get scalded. Week after week, I carried on laying that baby grow in my arms, asking God to fill it with our child. Then, one day, nearly 3 years later, I was finally back on the road to being a mum, and Ben was on his way to filling that baby grow that I had held in my faith in all those years. And the rest is history. The following year, Jessica was born, and then about every 2 years after that, Emily, Bethany, Sophia, Carissa, and Caitlin. I should say that right back at the point of our marriage, I always prayed for twins to be one of our blessings. But as our family grew and we got to Sophia, number five, I thought it was never going to be a prayer that God would answer, until our final pregnancy, when I went for a scan and two little heartbeats were seen on the screen. Tim always came to the scans, but this was the only one that he couldn't make. And did he get a shock when I produced a picture of twin one and then twin two? Tim and I can't thank God enough for our precious children and the blessing that they are to us. I would say to anyone else that praying for children, to live your life pleasing to God and to never give up on your prayers. God is able and he is a faithful God. Prayer does change things, and determined, focused prayer is an even greater force. So what is it like to be a mum? Tim and I are so proud of our seven children, but the ultimate blessing is knowing that they all love Jesus and that they grow deeper and deeper in their faith as each year passes. Motherhood does knock rough edges off of you, and you have to be selfless because keeping the daily routine and the family bobbing along is up to you. But because not every child is the same, you can't have one rule that you apply to them all. Ben would only need a reprimand, and it was enough to stop him being naughty. Jessica, on the other hand, didn't respond to words, and after a few warnings, would end up with a mild smack. We have had our battles in church as well, when as toddlers they were determined to run around and we were determined that they wouldn't. So week in and week out, we hemmed them in until they knew where their boundary line was. To see our children growing though with more confidence than we had and being more secure than definitely I am is very rewarding too. As a mum, you have to expect there to be highs and lows each day. And even after all these years, I'm still trying not to take the harder days personally. And I'm hoping that Jesus doesn't come back too soon so they can experience being parents for themselves and understand how hard it is and how many decisions you have to make daily. I don't always get it right, and I think it's important to say sorry to your children when you don't. Not always, but a rich mutual respect is important in my eyes. If Tim advertised for my position as a mum, it would read something like this. Your hours will be 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. when you'll be allowed to go to bed, but you'll still be on call throughout the night, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, year in and year out. You'll be expected to cook, clean, shop and manage the house. Your washing pile will never go down. The cleaning will never finish. And house management will always be inevitable. You will also have to undertake the painting, decorating, gardening, and light maintenance. Your children will understand there is not a tree that grows money, but some will always believe that the hole in the wall gives out free money. Even if you try your best, it won't always be thought of as good enough. Most days, there will always be someone who has a problem with your decisions and the way you run things. You'll be blamed for caring too much or blamed for not caring enough. You will need to be able to drive, as you will do at least 200 miles a week on school runs, after school activities and pickups. Be prepared for daily arguments over who sits where. Don't even try to have a sense of humour because it will cause your eyes to roll and groans to come out of your children's mouths. There will be times you feel utterly alone in a crowded room and totally unappreciated. Days where you can't do right for doing wrong. Days too where you feel your husband is your eighth child, not your helper. There is no salary as such, and there are no days off for sick leave, and if you are sick, you must carry on. My reply to this ad would always be, when can I start?
Here's the eighth child. I don't want to really add anything to what Sim has already said, because there's two things I want to say, really. Children are very different, and some just take it and do what you say, and others, like that one beginning with J. I don't know if you've ever been at a place where you've got rather frustrated and you've sort of said, right, I'm counting to five, and if you're not moved by I get to five, that's it, and you start counting. Well, I used to occasionally, quite often, do that. And I remember Jessica saying, doing something. I said, Jessica, get down here now. And she sort of stubbornly looked at me. And I said, Jessica, one, two. And she looked at me and said, Daddy, are you counting to three or five? And they are so different. And there is no, there, it's a very good question, to which there was an answer, which came, yes, I remember demonstrating rather... How to count to five very quickly. But they're all different. And, you know, there is no manual for parenthood and parenting. And you are totally reliant on God. And I just want to, on that note, to say, you know, for my wife to come and stand here and speak tonight, I'm bowled over. I am bowled over. I really am. And it says to me that if any, you know, if she can do it, and I'll tell you, if I can do it, there is nothing that any of us cannot do. We can do it. If you rely on God, not on yourself, if you rely on God, there is nothing you cannot do in God. And the second thing I want to say to you, you know, is Sim touched on this at the start. We didn't have children. Everyone around us had children. And you people look at us now and see the snapshot now and think, yeah, they've got it all. They've got it all together. Yeah, they've got 70. They're all. Let me tell you, it wasn't always like that. Sim said that. And there's a verse that says that we serve a God who calls into being that which is not as though it already is. And it's in Romans 4:17. And when Sim was praying and talking to God and saying to God, when is this going to happen? She demonstrated, she put her faith into action by doing what she said. She held the baby girl, the empty baby girl. She walked around with it, said, thank you, God, for filling this. Because by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And she with thanksgiving, said, God, I thank you for filling this. And she did that with the detergent bottles, and she made sure the pans were the right way around. And she acted as though the prayer had already been answered, even when it wasn't. And maybe even tonight, there are things that you need to do, that you need to act and begin to act as though it has already happened. By faith, calling to being that which is not as though it already is. And I want to say, you know, the same God who answered my wife's prayers, who answered my prayers, is the same God who can answer your prayers. There is nothing God cannot do. And there is nothing God cannot do with you if you're yielded and willing and surrendered to him. So I want to encourage you. I want to really encourage you tonight to hear what my wife said. To hear the words that she said and to understand that what God has done for her and what God has done for us, he can do for you as well. There is nothing our God cannot do. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wasn't that wonderful? So encouraging and so refreshing. And Tim is right. Sim would never do anything like this before. And the fact that she's actually done this, stand in front of a whole bunch. And it's a real testament to all of you, really. Just means that she feels very safe with you. It means that she feels very secure. And that's a big thing. So when you're in true community and when you're in front of a real family, because she knows that she is loved by so many of you. Some of you don't know Sim, and that's the only reason why you don't love her. But as soon as you know her, you love her. But she is wonderful. And, you know, they beat us by one child, so. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to invite, Mario is going to bring the word of God, and then Josh is going to follow him. Where's Josh? There you go. Oh, wow, my goodness me. I just see. I wish I could take that picture right now, man. I tell you. He wasn't blushing. He was horrified. Mario is sitting at the edge of his seat thinking, okay, this guy's Bible is out. Oh, wow. Now, what we're going to do is, I'm not even going to open the Bible, because if I open the Bible, you guys are going to be here till 8. So we're going to have the worship back. And, you know, I just want to say, following on just from what both Sim and Tim have said, we see two women in the scriptures. We see Rachel and we see Hannah. And, you know, they were both in the same situation, weren't they? They both struggled to have children. They both struggled to conceive. And, you know, what the Lord really wants to remind us tonight is that every single one of us, male or female, we have been spiritually equipped to produce spiritual offspring. And if we are not seeing new birth come through our lives, not only the fact that we're born again, but if we're not seeing, you know, spiritual sons and daughters, if you like, being birthed through our lives, then we need to do what they did. Rachel cried out to the Lord and said to him, Lord, give me children lest I die. Hannah cried out to the Lord and she was full of anguish in her soul. Eli accused her of being drunk because she was so utterly consumed with the fact that she didn't have any children. You know, when Sim was going through what she was going through, and she had that incredible demonstration of faith, it was just so evident what she was absolutely believing God for, where you would hold on to baby girls, you will pray, you will confess, you will make declarations. You know, Rachel, she said to her husband, Jacob, she cried out, said to him, give me children lest I die. You know, I don't know what's wrong with me, but, I've been told I can't have any children. I've been told I'm barren. But I am telling you, you give me children lest I die. If you don't give me children, then I might as well be taken out of this world, because I want children. I want children. And you know, what if she gave up? What if she just accepted her lot? There would be no Joseph. There'll be no Benjamin, you know. So were there other 12 other tribes of Israel. But if there weren't any Joseph, there won't be any Israel. If there was no Joseph, because God preordained for Joseph to be the one to go before a whole nation, what would become a nation, into a land that will act as a spiritual or divine incubator for the birthing of a whole nation. And Joseph went ahead, and God used him, even through his affliction, even through his betrayal, even through his imprisonment, and everything that the false accusation, God used him and raised him up to be a deliverer of a tribe, of a very, very small tribe of 72 people, who in a space of over 400 years would become an incredibly significant nation through which our Messiah would come eventually. So what if Rachel gave up? What if Hannah gave up? And there was no Samuel. If there were no Samuel, then there would not have been any Saul. And you say, well, what's the big deal about Saul? You know, why? What's the big deal? It's David that we need to. No, no, hang on. You know, Saul was absolutely crucial because Saul, even though he got it wrong, was the one that God would use to establish the nation of Israel to becoming a kingdom. It went from being just a nation to becoming a kingdom. And, you know, if there was no Samuel, there would be no Saul, and there would have been no David, and David would not have been king. You may say, well, God would have found someone else. I don't know that. No one knows that. All I know is what the word says. Because of the travail, and what an incredible word that is, because of the travail of a mother, we now have a nation that was born, a nation that became a kingdom. We are now sat in this room here this evening, thousands upon thousands of years after that travail of that one mother that said, give me children lest I die, and even thousands of years still of one mother who was so consumed with anguish that she was accused of being drunk. We are sat here as born-again, spirit-filled Christians because of the Jesus who came through their loins. Who came through their intercession? Who came through their travail? So, you know, when we talk about being spiritual, men and women who are spiritually equipped to produce spiritual offspring, we need to pray against spiritual barrenness. Going through this Christian life without being used by God to bring to birth and to bring to life at least one person. At least one man, one woman, one soul into the kingdom. And not just to lead someone to Christ, but to actually effectively disciple that man or disciple that woman. We pray it very regularly in our prayer gatherings that, you know, even in nature, even thinking about sheep, you know, at least every sheep is appointed at least to have at least one lamb or one ewe. At least one. And this is the challenge that the Holy Spirit is now laying on all of us. You know, we all play different parts within the body of Christ, and not all of us have been called to be evangelists, but we have all been called to do the work of an evangelist. And not all of us can disciple the way we would like to disciple, but some of us have been called to be spiritual midwives, where we are used by God to bring into birth every single one of these souls that he has ordained to come into the kingdom of God through our lives. So, you know, let's have that same resolve. Let's have that same passion. If we have been walking with the Lord a few years, maybe even a few decades, and that fervor to see new birth come through our lives, you know, and this is the key thing. New birth came into our lives, the day we got saved. But God wants to bring new birth through our lives. He wants us to be agents of new birth. He wants us to have children. He wants us to have spiritual sons and daughters. I'm not just talking about spiritual sons and daughters, you know, when we come alongside other people within the church, or maybe some people have come alongside you. I mean, that's absolutely wonderful. No, I'm talking about God using you to bring someone into the kingdom, that through your witness, through your lifestyle, through your heart, through your prayers, through your travail, through your passion, through whatever it is that God calls you to do, someone gets saved through you. Because the alternative is just to go through this Christian life, I have to say, spiritually barren. And you say, well, Pastor, it's easy for you because you lead so many people to Christ. Let me tell you something. It's never, ever going to be easy. It's never, ever going to be easy. I may have a platform, and I give God praise for that, but you have a platform too. Anywhere you set your foot on is a platform. And any moment that God gives you is an opportunity. And, you know, we even heard this week very recently in the prayer service how, you know, one person came and said that, you know, sharing her faith has been such a challenge for her. And I know it's been a challenge because it's something that we have prayed about time and time again. We prayed in our prayer service on a Wednesday, in the early morning prayer meetings, and we've talked about it. you know, about the difficulties and the challenges, but also the desire to see it changed. And you could almost hear a Rachel in there. You can almost hear a Hannah in there. And just like that, you know, God gave her the opportunity to share her faith in this week. And she, you know, she was concerned, well, I didn't kind of like close the deal. But, you know, it's not always about closing the deal. It's about trusting God. It's about knowing that at some point, you know, that seed has been sown. You know, the whole process of new birth, it's not, you know, it's about depositing a seed, even in the natural. There's a seed and there's a fertilization of that seed, and you know, there's a seed joining an egg, and so many things in the human biology that mirrors perfectly what happens in the spirit realm. And you know, we need to just sow the seed of the word of God and just believe that God is going to do something with that seed. And if and when he gives us the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, let's take that opportunity. Whether we are 18 or 80 years old, we have got to be a people, every single one of us, we have got to be a people who say, God, I don't want any spiritual barrenness. I don't want any spiritual barrenness. I want to be used by you to bring someone into the kingdom of God by way of new birth. Give me children, lest I die. Lord, I am in anguish of soul. My heart is consumed with this desire. And if you don't feel any of that tonight, then maybe you need to ask God to give you that burden. Maybe you need to ask God to lay that on your heart, because then when he lays it on your heart, something will be triggered. And just as we heard with Sim and Tim, he might give you more than you bargained for. It won't stop at the one. They just keep on coming. So we give God praise. Let's have the band back. Give me children, lest I die. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Nigel. You know, what we're going to do tonight, we're just going to pray for, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us, and for everyone, anyone in the room who is not yet a child of God, anyone in the room who is dissatisfied with their life, it's probably because you're not living the life that God has ordained for you to live. God has purpose for you to live, so maybe because you're looking for something that you don't fully understand how to lay hold of, and that's because it's always appeared to be out of your reach. But tonight, I believe that Jesus is going to help you reach the unreachable so that you can do the undoable in your own life. And for that to happen, a step of faith needs to be taken. You need to trust and entrust your life into God's hands by faith. That's a process of surrender. Jesus came, for those of you in the room who are not yet saved, if you're not yet a Christian, I need to emphasize that, you know, being born in a Christian country doesn't make you a Christian. Being christened as a baby doesn't make you a Christian. Being confirmed as a teenager or preteen doesn't make you a Christian. Being born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. Well, you say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, God believes in you. And what you believe or you don't believe doesn't actually change what is. This is the thing that we have got to understand. I've said this quote once or twice. I'll say it again. There's a great philosopher who, in actual fact, was not a believer. But he said this: I would rather go through my life believing that there was a God, only to get to the end of my life and to find out that there wasn't, than to go through my life believing that there was no God, only to get to the end of my life to find out that there is a God. Well, I'm here to let you know tonight, I am a living witness that God is real. God is, period. And he loves you, and he wants you to experience his freedom. He wants you to stop fighting. He wants you to stop running. And he wants you to start being who he has called you to be. For that to happen, you need to accept the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is accepting what he did for you on the cross, because what he did for you on the cross was because he loved you, was because God has loved you. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. Forget about the 7 billion people on the planet and think about yourself as the one. You are the one unique person that Jesus died for, and that is exactly what happened. God so loved you that he gave you his only son, so that if you can believe in this son, you shall not die, you shall not perish, but you will have everlasting life. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray with you tonight. I think I know every single person in this room, about 2 or 3 people. But I want to give this opportunity. We cannot lose an opportunity. So let's make this opportunity now for anyone here tonight who does not yet have a relationship with Jesus. You've heard what Tim has shared, and you know the Holy Spirit, I know, is speaking to you. If tonight you want to give your life to Christ, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to say, God, yes, I want to put my life into your hands because I need to start making sense of my existence, then I would love for you to pray this prayer with me. Now, this prayer doesn't save you, but this prayer is a confession of your commitment to the Lord. This prayer is a symbol of what God has done on the inside of you. And I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. And it simply goes like, I want to ask the whole church to pray as well, just to support. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your only son, to die on the cross for me. I believe he died for me, but I also believe he rose again. I don't understand why he would do this for me, but tonight I choose to surrender. I choose to yield. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and they are many. Wash me clean in the precious blood of Jesus. Make me new. Make me whole. And help me to start understanding why I am here, why I exist. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. And I ask you tonight to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I give you my life for the rest of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look about me. If you prayed that prayer with me, we want to acknowledge you. We want to celebrate you. We want to thank God for what you've done. And we also want to get some information into your hands as well. So if you pray that prayer, either for the first time or maybe you've walked away from the Lord and you've prayed it because you want to come home, you want to come home, you've been away from home, but tonight you want to come home, but you prayed that prayer and you meant it, can we ask you to do something really courageous? Just raise your hand to heaven, please. Anyone in this room? Bless you, brother. Did you pray that prayer? You're wrestling. Who are you fighting with, man? You go put your hand up if you pray. Come on now. Did you pray? Yeah, put your hand up, man. Come on now. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a young man over there. Hallelujah. You're my brother, man. You are my brother. Come on now. Come on, let's give God praise. I love that. I love that. Well, we give God thanks. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Oh Lord, we give you praise. We give God thanks for these two brothers in Christ who've now experienced a new birth. Holy Spirit, continue to work deeply in their hearts. Do something wonderful in their hearts, Lord. God, give them such a hunger and a thirst for you. Lord, I know and you know, and even they know that they won't get it. They won't understand it all, even tonight. But we thank you for this incredible journey that you've now put them on. And we say, Lord, that tonight we'd make a declaration that these seeds will not be stolen by the enemy. They will not fall in rocky soil. They will not fall in thorny soil. But they will fall in very good soil. And they will produce a bountiful crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And we give you thanks and praise. And now, Lord, for every single one of your children here tonight, including myself, Lord. Church, if you can, just place your hand on your belly area. Because that's where the womb is. If you're a male, this might feel weird because you don't have a womb, but just go for it. Because we're talking about this is a spiritual carrying. And you know, God does not want you to be spiritually barren. He doesn't. And we see this trend. We see this trend with Sarah. We see it with Rebecca. We see it with Rachel. We see it with Hannah. We see it with Elizabeth. We see it throughout the scriptures. Incredible, significant women of God set apart by the Lord to be his vessel through which world changes will come. Mordecai Ham never heard of Billy Graham, didn't know who this unknown 14-year-old boy was. But when he went into that meeting that day, and he heard the gospel for the first time, Mordecai Ham had no clue that one of God's generals was about to be birthed into the kingdom of God. It's not about you or me becoming the next Billy Graham. You're the first you, and you are the only you, and that's all God needs. He doesn't need you to be anyone else. He doesn't need you to be Reinhard Bonnke. He doesn't need you to be anyone else. You are the first you. You are the unique you. And you are the you that he called into the kingdom. You are the you that he has set apart. We heard it this morning from Pastor Sue. Be the very best version of yourself. You don't need to be anyone else. But he has appointed you to bear fruit. You have been appointed to bear fruit. You have been appointed to be his vessel through which new birth comes into the lives of other people. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And I say, Holy Spirit, all across this room, starting with me, God, will you touch our hearts and our lives once again? And where there is a spiritual barrenness, Lord, will you remove it? And will you give us the grace to yield our lives to you as instruments of new birth? That, Lord, we will carry this gospel and we will be your witnesses. Witnesses to your resurrection. Your resurrection power. And Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, you will give us more than we bargain for. Lord, you will give us exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. And I know the Lord would say to you now, well, you might ask the question, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm so timid, I'm so shy, or I don't know how it's going to happen. Lord, I don't know the words to say. I don't know how to communicate the gospel. I don't even know how to share my testimony. Lord, I don't have any opportunities. I don't, you know something? All of those, all of the above, God is already versed on all of those things. But he would say to you tonight, even as Moses said he couldn't speak, he had a stutter or stammer. Even as David looked at himself and thought, you know, well, I'm a teenager, but I'm still going to take on this giant. God would say to you that even with all of those challenges, real challenges that you're facing, he's going to use you anyway. And when you open your mouth, it won't be your words coming out of your mouth. It'll be his words. When you reach out to touch that person's life, it won't be you touching their life. It'll be Jesus touching their lives. Just yield yourself, surrender yourself to the Lord and say, God, I just want to be your vessel of honor. And I don't want to be a barren vessel. I want to be a fruitful vessel. You have been appointed to bear fruit. So my Lord, I ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, will you minister to every single one of your children here tonight, starting with myself? And Lord, I pray that you will empower us to be the best version of who you have called us to be. And that, Lord, as we yield to you our lives, Lord Jesus, you will remove every form of spiritual barrenness from us. And we will cry out to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the midwives that you're going to bring alongside us. And thank you for those of us who you have called to be midwives. Thank you for those who will sow. And thank you for those who will water. And thank you for those who will reap. But you're the one who brings the increase. Lord, you are the one who does the supernatural. You are the one who does the miraculous, Lord, with what we have. So, Father, we pray that you will take hold of our lives and that you will use us for your glory. Even this week, Lord, it might be that husband, it might be a wife, it might be a family friend or a member of our family. It might be our neighbor, it might be our work colleague, it might be a stranger on the streets, it might be whoever it is, Lord, we pray that you will give us such a burden to be like Rachel, to be like Hannah, Lord, not to settle for our current position or to be content with being in our current state of childlessness, as it were, of barrenness, as it were, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name, God, something will rise on the inside of us that will cause us to cry out to you until things change, to cry out to you until you give us what is your greatest desire. Lord, what you want above all else is that every man be saved and none come, everyone comes to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but none perish. That is what you want. And Father, we pray that you will give us a desire for what you desire. You will give us a passion for what you are passionate about. And we ask, oh Lord, that in your precious name, every hindrance, every barrier, every blockage, oh God, to being fruitful believers, fruitful followers of Christ will be removed from us, Lord. Lord, you want us to be fruitful, which means we got to have some seed. And Lord, we pray that as we have this seed of life on the inside of us, which is the word of God, that Father, we will just, everywhere we go, Lord, we will pollinate. We will release that which you have placed on the inside of us, Lord. So we come against every form of spiritual barrenness, Lord. And pray for every one of your children in this room tonight that needs a miracle touch in their physical being, where there might be pain in their body, where there might be illness or of any description. Holy Spirit, will you come and minister to them now in Jesus' name. Lord, where there is a stiffness, where there is limited mobility, Father, with the heat of your presence come upon them now and cause that area of limited mobility to be loosed in the name of Jesus. Lord, come even now as a hot or warm balm of Gilead and fall in that area. Lord, release your presence even in that area. Release your touch even in that area, Lord. Oh God, where there is an irritation, Father God, or malfunction in nerves. There's a nerves, like it's to do with nerves, and there's a malfunction in the area of your nerves. Even now, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. there's an infection in a particular area of your body, and the Lord is healing infections tonight. I'm seeing a redness and a swelling right now. I say be healed in the mighty name of Jesus right now, in Jesus' name. There is a swelling in the left knee, in someone's leg, a swelling in the left knee. It's at the back of your knee. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. There's been some discomfort in that area. There's been some discomfort in that and some weakness in that area as well. I speak strength to come into that area right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In very recent weeks, there's been, in both hands, there's been a pain sort of like coming when you're writing or when you work with your hands longer than you would normally do. Actually, no, that's not correct. When you work with your hands as normal, you get this pain and it just starts it comes gradually, and after a while it intensifies and it subsides, and you're worried that it might be arthritis or whatever it is, and you know, maybe it is a genetic thing or something that has been in your family. Well, first of all, we cut you free from that in the name of Jesus. We banish that disease and we say go now in Jesus' name. Arthritis has no place, has no right to be in your body. We break you free from every curse and every word that has been spoken over your life, and we say be free and be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us tonight. And Lord, as we go into our mission field, wherever that mission field is, Lord, we trust that you would go with us. You would have gone before us. You would be with us, and you'd be our rear guard. And we thank you even now, Holy Spirit, for a very blessed, very fruitful, and very productive week as we're going into this week. Wherever we are, Lord, in our places of work, in our places of business, in our places of education, we thank you, we give you all the praise. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise. Let's give God glory. If the Lord has healed you tonight, examine that area and then come and testify.